Psalm 13. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Light up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemies say, I have prevailed over him. Lest my foes rejoice because I am shaken. But I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me.
Thank you, Courtney. Well, this morning, we are continuing our sermon series in the Book of Psalms, and as we do, we come to Psalm chapter 13, and this is, as you can tell, a heavy, heavy psalm in a lot of different ways. And I know I do this a lot, but one of the things I want to do, I do this a lot in terms of how I begin a lot of my sermons, but want to do it again this morning and begin just our time together by asking a question. And the question is this: how do you respond to hard, painful, difficult emotions? So think about that for your own life. Like, what is your natural, normal, default response to negative, troubling, hard, painful emotions that you might feel and experience in your life? Like loneliness, or when you feel sad, or mad, or angry, or stressed out, or you feel inadequate, or you feel insecure, or you feel shame, or you feel overwhelmed and stressed out of your mind and anxious and afraid. Or just fill in the blank for you. Like, when those negative, troubling emotions, you begin to feel them in your heart, then what's your normal reaction? What's your normal response? Well, most people respond in one of two ways, or one of two extremes. For some, they live in denial, meaning they stuff their emotions. They seek to avoid their emotions. They seek to ignore whatever those painful, negative emotions that they begin to feel. They stuff them. They ignore them. And for some, then, this looks like busying yourself, right? Like, y'all know what I'm talking about. Like busying yourself with work, busying yourself with projects around the house, busying yourself with friends, busying yourself with a busy social calendar. You just busy yourself to try and distract yourself from thinking about whatever's painful and hard and difficult and from feeling it. Or, if that trick doesn't work, you numb it. You seek to numb the pain. And you got all sorts of different ways and tricks to be able to do that, from binge-watching TV shows to scrolling through social media, to shopping, to indulging in pornography, to sports, to misusing alcohol and drinking your sorrows away, and a whole host of other things. So that's one extreme, right? That's one way that we deal with negative, painful, hard emotions, is that we live in denial of them. Stuff them, avoid them. The other way, the other extreme then, is we don't deny them, but we live in despair. In other words, we let those emotions, those negative hard emotions then, cripple us. We let those emotions just paralyze us and rule over us and cause us to lose hope and cause us to despair. And so then think about this, right? Think about this for your own life. Which one of those are you? We all lean in one of those directions. All of us. Like, which of those would best characterize how you respond to those negative, troubling emotions in your life? Are you a denier, or are you a despairer? Denial or despair? Well, in our passage this morning, we're going to see that there's a third way. There's a better way. than to deny or our emotions or live in despair. When it comes to our emotions, there's a third way to respond to the negative, troubling, painful emotions that we experience in our lives. It's not to live in denial. It's not to live in despair. Instead, the third way is this. It's lament. It's lament. Now, I don't know about you, but when I was growing up and really first became a Christian and had guys in church that were discipling me and teaching me how to pray, they taught me the acrostic acts, right? They were teaching me the different kinds or the different types of prayers that are found in the Bible that I should incorporate in my prayer life. And the way they explained that to me was with the acrostic acts, right? A is for prayers of adoration. C is for prayers of confession. T is for prayers of thanksgiving. And S is for prayers of supplication or request. And so they talked about these are four different types of prayers that are found in the Bible that I should be praying regularly and adopt that in my prayer life and all that. And all of that is true, right? Like those are four types of prayers in the Bible and that we should be praying. We should be praying prayers of adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication, and all that's good. But there was one prayer, type of prayer, that's found over and over and over again all throughout the Bible, especially in the book of Psalms, that they forgot to mention. And that doesn't really fit in with the Acts acrostic. Because it begins with the letter L. Like, what are you going to do with that? Lax, axel, like, it doesn't work. And that type of prayer that starts with the letter L is the prayer of lament. It's the prayer that's prayed by people who are in pain. It's the prayer that's prayed by people who are in deep sorrow and grief. It's the prayer that's prayed by people who are experiencing great, excruciating suffering and walking through trials and difficulties in their life. They're experiencing troubling, negative, hard emotions. That what they do is that they don't respond to their emotions by denying them or living in despair. Instead, they respond to their emotions by praying prayers of lament. And that's what Psalm 13 is going to teach us and show us here this morning. That Psalm 13 here is a prayer of lament that was written and prayed by King David. And what we're going to see is this psalm is going to serve as a model or a template for us for how we're to lament, for how we're to deal with, for how we're to respond to those troubling emotions and circumstances that we experience in our lives. And that's my prayer and my hope for us here this morning as we walk through this psalm together. That right now this morning, I know there are people here this morning who are hurting. Like, I know there are people here this morning walking through like hard pain. Emotional pain, physical pain, spiritual pain. I know there are people here who are grieving and are in deep sorrow. I know there are people here who are emotionally just exhausted, physically exhausted, stressed out of your mind, completely overwhelmed. Just coming here this morning was a chore for you. So then, if that's you this morning, my prayer is that God would use Psalm 13 here, again, as a model, as an example, to give you words to pray in the midst of the painful emotions that you're experiencing, that you're walking through, even this very moment right now. That you would not deny those emotions and numb them and be distracted by them with other things so you don't have to feel them, and so you can avoid them and look like you're all tough. And that you wouldn't live in despair and allow them to cripple you and rule over you. And so that's what we're going to see within Psalm 13 here. We're going to see just three elements or a biblical lament. Or you might want to even refer to these as three steps of biblical lament. And so the first step or the first element is this. You see this on your handout here. It's to pour out your pain, fear, frustrations, and questions to the Lord. To pour out your fear, your pain, your frustrations and questions to the Lord. This is what we see. This is how we see David begin here in the very first two verses here in Psalm 13. Look there with me. David asked the Lord these questions. You can just feel the pain and the agony, right, and the anguish in his heart. He says, he asked God, "How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me?" And so then, we don't know the exact details or the exact situation and circumstances that prompted David to ask these questions. Like we don't know exactly when it was and where David was and exactly the circumstances that prompted him to cry out to God like this. But if we read this psalm and we begin to piece just the different components of this psalm together, what we learn pretty quickly is that David's kind of in a pickle. David has enemies that are pursuing him and threatening him in some way. They're probably trying to kill him. That's why at the end of verse 2, he asks, if you look there, he asks, "How long shall my enemy be exalted over me?" And then in verse 4, he says, "Lest my enemy say I have prevailed over him. Lest my foes rejoice because I am shaken." So again, we don't know exactly all the details and circumstances that prompted David to write this psalm. But we do know he's afraid. He's afraid for his life. He's afraid his enemies are going to conquer him, prevail over him, and that they're pursuing him and threatening him in some way. And because of that, then we see these different emotions that David is experiencing in his heart. First, if you notice, he feels like God has completely abandoned him and forgotten him. If you notice, that's why he cries out there in verse 1. Why he cries out, "Will you forget me forever?" The reason he cries that out, because that's what he feels like God's done. He feels like God's abandoned him. He feels like God's forgotten him. And the reason he feels that way is because his enemies are trying to kill him. God's not intervening to rescue him and deliver him. And so obviously he thinks God's just forgotten him. God's just abandoned him. That's not all he feels. He also feels that like God has removed his favor from him. In other words, he feels like God's not for him anymore. So what David's getting at at the end of verse 1 when he asks God, "How long will you hide your face from me?" Throughout the Old Testament, God's face is a reference to God's favor. And so then when David here is crying out and asking God, "How long are you going to hide your face from me?" What he's asking is, "How long are you going to hide your favor from me?" Because again, in David's mind, if he had God's favor, if God was for him, then God would intervene and rescue him from his enemies. But since God's not doing that, then he obviously must not have God's favor. God must not be for him anymore. Or that's what David felt. That's how David felt. And that's what David felt and thought. So he feels like God's abandoned him. He feels like God's not for him anymore. And as a result of that, in verse 2, we see that his heart then is filled with this constant, unending sorrow. We see that in verse 2. He says, How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? His heart is filled with sorrow. Did you notice that? All the day. All day long. From the moment he wakes up and from the moment he falls asleep at night, his heart is filled with grief. His heart is filled with sorrow because he thinks that God's abandoned him, forgotten him, is not for him anymore, and he's scared out of his mind that his enemies are about to kill him. And so then in light of this, what's David do? He doesn't deny his emotions. He doesn't live in despair. But instead, he cries out four times, "How long, O Lord?" Do you notice that? Four times. How long will you forget me? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? How long will my enemies be exalted over me? Like four different times, one after another. Bang, bang, bang. How long, how long, how long, how long? In other words, when's this going to end? How long am I going to have to continue to walk through this? Is this going to last forever, God? How long? Anybody here this morning praying that? Anybody here this morning asking that? And I guarantee you there are people here this morning who can resonate exactly with what David is praying here in these first two verses. Like, you might not have enemies, literal enemies that have surrounded you at your door, knocking on it, wanting to kill you, threatening you like David is. But instead, some of you might be walking through a really scary, painful health situation right now, or struggling with infertility or a difficult job situation or relational problem or conflict or the death of a loved one or just great anxiety and stress and loneliness and depression and grief. Like, that's your enemy that you're walking through. And you hadn't just been walking through it for one day. You've been walking through it like day after day and week after week and month after month. And some of y'all, year after year after year. And God hadn't done jack squat about it. He hadn't intervened. He hadn't come to your rescue. He hadn't delivered you out of it. You're still there. Your circumstances haven't changed. He hadn't made any of them go away. And so then if you were honest, you would be like, you would say, I think God's like forgotten me. I think he's busy with all these other people and I'm over here. Or I think he's hidden his face from me. And I don't know if he's for me anymore. And as a result, your heart is just filled with anguish and sorrow and grief like all the day. You wake up, sorrow. You go to bed, sorrow. The only peace you get is when you're asleep. And so then here's the question. In that moment, in these moments, when you're overwhelmed with sorrow and frustration and discouragement, the sort of hurt and pain and all these questions, what do you do? I mean that sincerely. Think about it. Look at your track record or ask somebody who knows you. What do you do? How do you respond? What's your normal default response in that moment? Do you stuff how you feel? Do you ignore it and try and avoid it at all costs so you don't think about it? Do you busy yourself with work, with people, with activities so you don't have to feel it and think about it? Do you numb it in all these different ways that I described earlier? Like, is that your strategy? Is that what you do? Please hear me. It's not how you deal and respond to troubling emotions and pain and sorrow in your heart. Instead, the way you deal with them is the way that David deals with them here. You fall on your knees and you're completely honest, like raw, honest, blunt emotion to God. And some of you are like, I didn't know I could pray like that. I didn't know I was permitted to pray like this. You are. You pour out your pain, your fear, your frustrations, your questions to God. And you cry out like, how long do I have to keep going to this job that I hate? How long is the pain in my body and this health issue going to continue? How long am I going to be childless? How long am I, my life just going to be stressful and busy and overwhelmed? Like, how long am I going to weep and grieve? Like, how long, O Lord? When is this going to stop? How long is this going to last? This right here is the first step when it comes to biblical lament. This first step when it comes to how to respond to troubling emotions and feelings in your heart. It's setting aside time to pour out your fears, pour out your pain, pour out your frustrations and questions to the Lord. Not to deny them and stuff them and give God the silent treatment. Like you can't talk about God, talk with God about these things. But don't stop there. Like the goal of biblical lament isn't simply so you can have a good cry. The goal of biblical lament isn't so you can vent and get some stuff off your chest so you can feel better. That's not the goal of biblical lament. It's a step in biblical lament. But you don't stop there. Instead, secondly, after then you pour out your pain and emotions to the Lord, then secondly, see this on your handout, you ask the Lord for help. You ask the Lord for help. This is the second step we see a biblical lament and what David does in verses 3 and 4 here. Look there with me at verse 3 and also in verse 4. Then in verse 3, if you notice, David's going to transition. And what he's going to do is he's going to transition from pouring out his questions and his pain and his frustrations to the Lord. He's going to transition from that to asking the Lord for help. And again, we see this in verse 3. David says, he prays and asks God, "Consider me and answer me, O Lord, my God. Light up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemy say I've prevailed over him. Lest my foes rejoice because I am shaken." So then again, this is really important. Lament doesn't stop with just pouring out your emotions and your questions and your frustrations to the Lord. It transitions from pouring out your emotions to asking the Lord for help. And again, that's what we see David do in verse 3 and also in verse 4. If you notice there, he makes three specific requests to the Lord. And then he gives three specific reasons for why the Lord should answer his request. Did you notice that? And so then look at the three requests that David makes here in verses 3 and 4. First, very beginning of verse 3, he asks the Lord to consider him. The word consider here means to take notice. It means to look at someone. It means to gaze intently at someone or something. And so then, in light of what David's feeling at this moment, remember, he feels forgotten from the Lord. He feels abandoned from the Lord. And so then David is crying out to the Lord. He's basically saying, "Look at me. Don't forget me. Look, gaze at me. Take notice at me. Don't abandon me, but look at me. Like, God, life is kind of difficult right now. Life is kind of painful right now. Like, people are trying to kill me right now. So can you look at me? Notice me? Hello? Don't forget me." So that's the first request that he makes. The second request that he makes of the Lord then is to answer him. Consider and answer me. Meaning, I've been asking you over and over and over again to rescue me, to deliver me, to save me from my enemies. Answer me. Answer me. Intervene. Rescue me, save me, deliver me from my enemies. Consider me. Don't forget me. Answer me. Rescue me. And then thirdly, his third and final request we see at the very end of verse 3. He asked the Lord to light up his eyes. Like, that's weird, right? I don't think I've ever prayed that. Lord, will you light up my eyes? Like, what in the world does that even mean? Well, you might be surprised if you read throughout the Old Testament. This phrase here, of this idea and phrase here of lighting up or brightening up eyes, it's used over and over again all throughout the Old Testament. And it's used as a reference to God reviving someone, like reviving someone's strength, to restore someone's strength, to provide somebody strength who's weary and downcast and low. And so then that's what David's asking the Lord to do here. Basically, if God rescues David from his enemies, then David's strength will be revived. His strength will be restored. He won't be sorrowful. He won't be low. He won't be downcast anymore. And so these are three requests that David prays here, but in reality, all three of these requests are really one request. And that one request is basically for God to intervene and deliver David from his enemies. In the rest of verse 3 then, and into verse 4 then, David gives three reasons for why God should answer the request that he just made. And so then look at the reasons that he gives here at the end of verse 3 and into verse 4. He says, lest I sleep the sleep of death, lest my enemies say I've prevailed over him, lest my foes rejoice because I am shaken. And so what David's saying here is, God, if you don't answer my prayers and rescue me and deliver me from my enemies, then these are the three things that are going to happen. I'm going to die because they're going to kill me. My enemies are going to prevail over me and win. And my enemies are going to boast and gloat and rejoice. And so David is basically telling God, if you don't want those three things to happen, then you're going to answer my prayer. And you're going to intervene and save me and rescue me from my enemies. And so then again, there's this major shift again, right, that's happening here in David's lament and David's prayer here. His prayer shifts from crying in verses 1 and 2 to asking in verses 3 and 4. From lament in verses 1 and 2 to request in verses 3 and 4. From pouring out his pain and sorrow in verses 1 and 2 to petitioning and appealing to God in verses 3 and 4. And this shift is really, really important when it comes to prayers of lament. And so again, let's personalize this. Think about the emotions, right, that you're wrestling with, that you're struggling with, that you're going through right now. That pain, that sorrow, that grief in your heart right now. Whatever that is, think about it. Number one, yes, be honest to the Lord. Pray, pour that out, pour it out, be honest. Pour out your pain, pour out your questions, pour out your frustrations to the Lord. Yes, but don't stop there. Next, then, plead with him. Ask him, beg him to intervene, to help you, to deliver you, to heal you, to strengthen you, to comfort you, just like David does here in verses 3 and 4 here. What that means, then, is if you're going through financial difficulties, then ask God to provide. If you're experiencing conflict in a relationship, then ask God to restore it and to reconcile it. If you have a scary, painful health issue you're walking through, then ask God to heal you. If you're anxious or lonely or stressed out, ask God to strengthen you and to comfort you. Now, I know in saying all that, you hear that, and I know none of that is new for people. Like, oh, really? I'm supposed to ask God these things? Like, you know that. Every one of y'all knows that. So in light of the fact that you know that, here's a question to honestly consider. As you've been walking through whatever difficulty you've been walking through, for how long you've been walking through it, is there anything in the midst of the pain and the grief and the suffering that you've been walking through, is there anything that you've stopped asking God to do? You've just stopped. In other words, has the pain of your circumstances or the ongoing difficult or the ongoing disappointments of unanswered prayers caused you to stop praying and asking God to intervene into whatever pain and difficulty that you're walking through? Have you stopped asking? Remember Jesus' Sermon on the Mount? Ask. And keep on asking. Knock. And keep on knocking. It's That's the picture here. And so if you've stopped, then let me encourage you with this. Start asking again. And here's why. You have a Father, a good Father in heaven, who sees you right now where you are and knows every ounce of hurt that you're walking through right now, and that deeply, deeply, deeply cares about you and for you. And since that's true, you can talk to Him. You can be honest and pour out your pain and your frustrations and your questions to Him. And you can ask Him to intervene and to rescue and to save you and to heal you, to strengthen you in the midst of whatever pain you're walking through right now. So pour out your pain and frustrations and questions and emotions to the Lord. Ask the Lord to help you and come to your aid and deliver you and strengthen you. And then third and finally is this. Choose to trust in the steadfast love of the Lord. Choose to trust in the steadfast love of the Lord. So what we see David do in these final two verses here in verses 5 and 6. But if you notice, verse 5 begins with a really, really important word. Probably the most important word in this entire psalm. It begins with the word, but. But. Like the word but is a huge transition marker in prayers of lament. It's a huge signal, a huge shift, a huge transition marker when it comes to prayers of lament. That yes, we want to, we need to pour out our sorrow and our pain to the Lord, and we need to, and we ask the Lord to intervene and deliver us and help us. But we don't want to stop there. We ultimately want our lament to lead us to trust in the midst of our pain. Like that's the final destination. That's the final goal of lament. It's not just to pour out your emotions. It's to trust God in the midst of your emotions. And that's what we see David doing here in verse 5 and in verse 6. That even though he feels like God has abandoned him, that even though he feels like God isn't for him anymore, that even though his heart is filled with unending, unceasing sorrow, and even though he keeps praying and praying and praying and asking God to rescue him and deliver him, and God never does, even though all that is true, and even though this is how David feels, he says, but he's drawing a line in the sand. But even though I feel all that, I trust in your steadfast love. Like we've talked about this before, right? Those two words, steadfast love, you see them all throughout the Bible, especially the Psalms. It's the English translation of the Hebrew word hesed. And that word hesed is a reference to God's covenant-keeping love. It's a reference to God's loyal love to those that he's entered into covenant relationship with, and his faithfulness and his to keep the promises that he's made to those that he's entered into covenant relationship with. And so then when it comes to David, if you remember, God entered into covenant relationship with him in 2 Samuel chapter 7. And in that covenant that he made with David, that covenant he made with David, God made some really important promises to David. We don't have time to hash them all out, but here's some of the promises that God made to David as part of that covenant that he entered into with him. He promised David that he was going to make his name great. He promised David that he was going to give him rest. Think about this, rest from all his enemies. He promised David that a great kingdom was going to come from him and that someone from his line was going to sit on the throne and serve as king forever. And he made him a whole host of other promises. But here's the kicker. At the time that David prays, Psalm 13 here, every single one of the promises that God made to David as part of that covenant is being threatened. Every single one of those promises that God made to David is at stake. It's hanging by, they're all hanging by a thread. Because if David's enemies kill him and he dies, then God's a liar. God's not faithful to his promises that he made to David. David's name won't be made great like God promised because he'll be dead. David won't have rest from his enemies. He won't have a great kingdom. He won't have any offspring to serve as king. None of those promises that God made to David will come true. And God will be a liar. And so then put yourself in David's shoes at this point of Psalm 13 within the back of your mind, knowing these promises and this covenant that God has made to you. You see your enemies getting closer and closer and closer to you. And as that's happening, God's promises are becoming more and more threatened. And at that point in time, then the question for David is like, David, okay, who are you going to trust? You going to trust your emotions? You going to trust your feelings? Which are telling you God's forgotten you, he's abandoned you, he's not for you anymore. Or are you going to trust his steadfast love? And his faithfulness and his loyalty to the promises and the covenant that he's made with you? Well, verse 5 here tells us who David trusts. He chooses to trust in the steadfast love of the Lord. He chooses to believe that God's going to be faithful to the promises that he made to him and that he's going to save him from his enemies. And David says, God, when you do that, I know you're going to do it. I'm 100% confident you're going to do it. And when you do that, then look at how David says he's going to respond at the end of verse 5. David says, my heart will rejoice in your salvation. And then in verse 6, he says, and I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully, or that word bountifully means generously with me. Like, this is how David's going to respond. When God remains faithful to his covenant and promises, and God intervenes finally and saves him from his enemies. When David's finally saved and God answers his prayer and delivers him, that David's heart is going to rejoice and he's going to burst out in song and sing to the Lord. So, like, Psalm 13 is a roller coaster ride, isn't it? Well, David's come a whole, well, he's come a long way from pain to trust, from sorrow to hope, to feeling forgotten, to looking forward to the day in which he's going to be delivered and rejoice and sing. Like, this is where lament ultimately leads. It leads to trust in the midst of pain. It leads to hope in the midst of pain. It leads to trusting in God's steadfast love and his faithfulness to the covenant and the promises that he has made. Like, this is what David was ultimately trusting in when he was afraid for his life. And when his heart was filled with sorrow. And this is our ultimate hope in the midst of the difficulties that we face and the pain and the sorrow that we face in this life as well. And here's how. Just like David, just like God entered into a covenant relationship with David that was filled with all kinds of promises, if you're a Christian here this morning, then God has entered into a covenant relationship with you as well. And the way that he's entered into that covenant relationship with you isn't because of how cool and how awesome you are, although I'm sure you're cool and awesome. But the way that he's entered into that covenant relationship with you is by sending his son Jesus to this earth to die on a cross for our sin. And if you remember, when Jesus died on the cross, or was dying on the cross, guess what he prayed? He prayed a prayer of lament. He cried out and prayed, my God, why have you forsaken me? As God poured out the full fury of his wrath on Jesus for our sin. And so then it was through Jesus' shed blood then, in a subsequent resurrection then, that God sealed a new covenant between all those who have placed their faith in Jesus and God. And this new covenant contains even better promises than the old one that God made with David. That in this new covenant, God promises to forgive us of all of our sins. In this new covenant, God promises to never leave us or forsake us. In this new covenant, God promises that nothing can ever separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ. In this new covenant, God promises that nothing can ever snatch us out of God's hand. In this new covenant, God promises that one day Jesus is going to return back to this earth, remove sin and all the effects of sin, and make all things new. And it's on that day then, guess what? That all the pain that you're walking through right now will be gone. All the sorrow that you're experiencing right now will be gone. All your loneliness and anxiety and stress and hard, difficult relationships and suffering will all be gone. You'll be completely and totally delivered from it all forever. But that day hadn't come yet. And so in the meantime, you and I face the same choice that David was faced in Psalm 13 here. Who are you going to trust? Who are you going to trust? You're going to trust your emotions and feelings, which are telling you to despair and be afraid and be filled with self-pity and that are telling you that you're all alone and that no one cares and that you have no hope? Is that who you're going to trust? Or are you going to trust and believe the steadfast love of the Lord and His faithfulness to keep all the promises that He made to you in the covenant that He has made with you in Christ? The promises that remind you that you're not alone. Ever. He's with you. You're not forgotten. He loves you. Your life's not spinning out of control. He's keeping you. Your suffering and trials aren't going to last forever. One day He's going to deliver you. Your pain and sorrow aren't too much to bear. He's upholding you and will uphold you to the very, very end. And so then this right here, Psalm 13, is how we're to respond to hard, painful emotions that we experience in our lives. On one end, we're not to deny them. And on the other end, we're not to despair. Instead, we're to lament. We're to pour out our emotions to the Lord. Honestly. Bluntly, boldly. We're to cry out and plead and ask Him to help. To deliver, to rescue, to heal, to provide, to strengthen, to comfort. And all of that is meant to ultimately lead us to believe and trust in the steadfast love of the Lord and the covenant and the promises that He has made to us in that covenant, even when our pain and even when our emotions are telling us something completely different. Oh, I pray that that would be true for all of us here this morning, that we would be a body that prays this way individually, and maybe some of you even this week need to find time to get alone with the Lord. And all that stuff you've been stuffing for so long, you need to cry out to Him. And for some of you, you're pretty good at that part. But all those emotions you've been crying out to the Lord with stops there. And it's led you to despair. And for those emotions to cripple you and rule over you. And so for you, it's to choose to trust. And remind yourself of the loyal love that God has for you in Christ. And the hope and the future and the promises that He has made to you. That one day you will be delivered from absolutely everything that you're going through right now. All of it. Like the New Testament scholar D.A. Carson said one time, you're not going through anything that a good resurrection won't fix. Because of Jesus' resurrection, if you're a follower of Christ, you can be sure that your body will be resurrected one day. and all your pain and agony and sorrow will be completely gone. You'll never feel it or experience it for billions upon billions upon billions upon billions of years to come. Let's pray. Lord, we pray and pour out to you our pain, our questions, our confusion, our sorrow, our grief. How long is it going to continue? How long is it going to last? We don't know how long we can continue to bear up under it and continue to walk through pain and the heartache and the agony that we feel. How long is the brokenness in our own hearts and the anxiety and the fear and the loneliness and the depression and the stress and the Lord, that is how we feel. That is how so many in our body feel right now. We don't understand it. We can't see any good coming from it. We don't know how long we can continue in it. And so, God, we ask you, we plead with you for strength, that you would uphold us in the midst of it. We pray, if it's your will and desire, that you would rescue and deliver, that you would heal, that you would provide, that you would strengthen and comfort. God, would you do that? But God, we trust in your steadfast love. God, whether you deliver us now in this life or whether you deliver us ultimately and finally in the life to come, we trust you. We know you're good. We know you're faithful. We know you're loyal to those who are in members of your covenant. And so, Lord, help us to continue to trust, knowing that on that day when you ultimately deliver us, our hearts will rejoice and we will sing. And so, Lord, help us in the here and now live in the midst of our pain in the here and now, looking forward to that day of deliverance. And help us to lament and help us to trust in the here and now in the midst of our pain. And we pray all this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.